بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد وصحابه وبارك وسلم. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds, Master of the Day of Judgment. Salawat and blessings on Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and friends. We are indeed grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us and favored us and has once again given us an opportunity to be present in his house as a guest. Week in and week out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this opportunity, this favor, this ni'mah, for which we should express our gratitude and our thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in so doing, Allah Ta'ala will increase His favor and bounty upon us. There are many people who week in and week out move from one doctor to another doctor, from one hospital to another hospital, from one ward to another ward, from one prison to another prison, from one drug rehab to another drug rehab, and they move from one place of vice to another place of vice. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala protect us from such situations and shower us with His mercy so that we always benefit and we remain in the company of the pious people and we remain in those environments where the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly descend. This gratitude that we express to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in so doing we will only enrich and benefit ourselves. Allah Ta'ala, He is Samad. He is not in need of anything. He is not in need of our gratitude. He is not in need of our thanks. If we decide, na'udhu billah, to boycott Allah, it will not affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. If we decide to abandon Allah, it will not affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. He is great, He is mighty, He is full of power, He is the Rabb of all the worlds. He is not in need of our ibadah. He is not in need of the ibadah of any of His creation. We make dhikr, we recite tasbih, we recite Quran. All that we do, it is benefit to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need that, and it does not increase the status and the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. Similarly, if we decide to disrespect Allah, and we decide to disobey Allah, and if the whole world decides to disobey Allah, that will not affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not muhtaj of the ibadah, of the praise of any of His creation. So this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has favored us, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And the greatest favor that He has given us, for which sometimes we do not fully and truly appreciate and express our gratitude to Allah for, is the ni'mah of Islam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this way of life. It is the preferred way of life and the only way of life acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no choice in that matter. There is no choice in the matter that there is only one way of life, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us through the Holy Quran, through the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, taraktum fikum amrain, that I have leave behind for you two things, two important matters, that if you hold fast to them, you will never ever go astray. It is impossible for you to go astray if you hold fast onto these two things. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter explained that it is the sunnah and it is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The book of Allah and His sunnah, His tradition. That if we remain steadfast on these two things, we will never go astray. And that is sufficient for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا, that this deen is complete. It is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers, and this is the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. It is a deen that gives us guidance to every single aspect of our lives. Before we were born, when we were in the waiting rooms, until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every direction, guidance is given in detail. Nothing is left for speculation. There is no room for doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. This is the book. There is no doubt whatsoever in it. If there is any doubt creeping into the heart or into the mind of a person, there is some weakness in that mind. There is some weakness in that heart. It needs to be nourished. It needs to be enriched. It needs to be strengthened so that that doubt could be removed from that heart and that mind. But this deen is complete. Thereafter, we have been given the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he practically showed his companions how to live this life, emphasizing that it is not impossible to live according to the sunnah, and it is not impossible to live according to the Quran. Not only did the Nabi live that life, but he left behind a legacy of Sahaba Ikram, male, female, children, young, old, rich people, poor people, scholars, slaves, whatever, from all aspects of life, from all spheres of life, he left behind a legacy of people that followed the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the last letter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms these people in the Holy Quran when he says, رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَهَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, that these people, they are the ones who kept up to their word. They lived to their word. The promise that they made, they lived up to their promise. They had promised that they will serve none but Allah, and they will follow strictly each and every ruling in the Quran and each and every ruling of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about them, their qualities, yu'thiruna ala anfusihim walau kana bihim khasasa, that in spite of their difficulties, they always gave preference to others. They were always concerned about the ummah in general. They were selfless people. They were not only worried about themselves, they were not selfish people, they were concerned that this deen, which is given to us as an amana, this sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it should be protected and preserved. The whole chain from the beginning to the end should be protected and preserved, so that the coming generations will have no doubt whatsoever, and they will benefit from each and every aspect of deen, and they may enjoy each and every sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us further, radiyallahu anhu wa radu an, that these people reach their destination successfully. These people have been given the stamp of approval, the certificate of approval from none other than by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So these pious predecessors, they lived in this world according to these two teachings, according to the Quran and according to the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you have to use an analogy so that it can come to our understanding and to our mind, it is like a train. It is like a train which is running on two tracks. That this train, as long as it remains on those two tracks, it will reach its destination. And the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum remained on those tracks till they reached their destination. They have passed on, they have gone, they have left, and they are enjoying the favors and the bounties and the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are the ones who have got onto this train, the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the preferred ummah, the best ummah, that ummah regarding which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, kuntum khayra ummat ukhrijat lin nas, that you are the best ummah that has been involved for the benefit of mankind. Just this announcement, a VW microbus ND3219 parked very inconsiderably on the public road and blocking the driveway to the masjid on Breeza Place. Please remove your vehicle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity to get onto this train. And we know that when a person is on this train and he decides to go on a journey, what happens? There are certain sacrifices that have to be made. There may be some inconveniences that he will go in this train and he will have to wait that journey and he will have to endure during that journey certain difficulties at times. But at all times, his focus and his attention is at the destination. That I am a follower of the Nabi, I will have to follow the Quran till I die. I will have to follow the Sunnah till I meet the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, till I go to the Akhirah. But what has happened? We find the Sahaba have left. We are in a situation, a very difficult situation, where we find ourselves that there is so much of chaos. We may be quick to blame somebody. There's no lights, you blame ESCOM. There's no water, you blame the water department. Something is late, we've got somebody to blame. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has empowered us with the Quran and Sunnah. So if anything is going wrong, we have to look at our lives. What is our connection to the Quran? What is our connection to the Sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If we look at the Quran, is it a book only for reading on special occasions, which is very, very important to read it on those occasions? The Quran is a book of guidance. From cover to cover, it is giving you guidance. It is giving me guidance. It is giving the mufti guidance. It's giving the alim guidance. It's giving the businessman guidance. It's giving the muazzin guidance. It's giving the trustees guidance. It's giving guidance to the leaders of the countries. To each and every person is giving guidance. But unfortunately, we do not read the Quran as we ought to read the Quran. Our situation is very much like that person who has purchased a new machine. Today it is old, every home has a microwave. But he has purchased a new machine and it came with a manual. Instead of reading that manual and studying that manual and taking some time to see how does this thing operate, what are the functions, what it has to do. No. We are too hasty. The first thing, we will put it on. We will start it. And when we find that it is not working, we have a problem, that is the time we take out the manual. That is the time we take up the manual and we are looking for a quick solution. We are opening to the page of troubleshooting to how we can get out of this mess. Similarly is our attachment to the Quran. We do as we please. We follow our own whims and fancies. We don't bother. We will do as we please. We are free in this country. We have got freedom of speech. We got freedom of expression, freedom of choice, freedom of everything. So we live our lives according to that freedom. And when we find we have a difficulty and we have a problem, then we want to open the Quran and we are looking for that solution, for that quick solution, for the troubleshooting. But the solution is we are looking for to get out of our predicament and difficulty. And if we look at the Sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udhu billah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us as a ummah and as an individual. We have relegated to this, the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as something very cheap. Something very cheap. If you go down to the streets, Grey Street, whatever, you will find they will have a price tag. It will say only $9.99. That word only means it is not expensive, it is cheap. We use this expression, this is only sunnah. We can leave it out. It is only sunnah, meaning it is not important, it is cheap, we can discard it. We'll be concerned about the sweet sunnahs. You know, walima, how many days we can have the walima, whether we should have something sweet before eating, something sweet after eating. Those sunnahs we are very punctual on. But the sunnah of life, how we have to live, every second of our life, every hour of our life, every day of our life, according to the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we have relegated and made it cheap. So what has happened? We find that this train that we are on, this train has become derailed. It has moved off the tracks. And we know what the situation when a train moves out of the tracks. When it goes off the track, all the people in the train, they suffer. We know the casualties that will happen. And thereafter, anybody else on another train who wants to pass that way, he also cannot pass. So he will also experience difficulty. So when we discard the Quran and we discard the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in totality, we will derail this train and we will find ourselves in difficulty, the difficulty that we are experiencing at this moment in time. Where we find that evils in society, things that should have been prevalent in other societies, have become our problems. Divorce is a problem. Gambling is a problem. Wine is a problem. Consuming of haram is a problem. Indulging in riba is a problem. All the problems for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us the Quran to take out of those problems, we find ourselves in that situation. We are in that difficulty. So, if one looks and analyzes his own self, we find that the problem is with us. All the chaos, if you look at the boards, all the chaos that is taking place in the world, don't look to blame anyone. Let us look at ourselves first. How much of the Quran and how much of the Sunnah are we implementing in our lives? Because if we do so, then we will benefit from the favor and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we don't follow the Quran and we don't follow the Sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we know what happens. What happens? Shaitan has promised. Shaitan has promised that where he will sit, he will sit there outside this masjid. He will sit inside this masjid. He will sit where the Muslims gather. And he will cause problems in the ummah. He will cause problems in the ummah. And he has promised that I will sit on Sirat al-Mustaqim. And I will mislead the people. I will take them away from the deen. So once the love for the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left our hearts and the practice of that, then what will happen? We will find ourselves reducing ourselves to a level where it is no more important to follow the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned that a time will come when nothing will remain of the deen except the name. The name will remain Islam. His name is Junaid. His name is Abdullah. But there is no deen in him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned nothing will remain of the Quran besides just the rasam, the reading of it, just the words and the letters. The practical implementation will leave. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned of those things. That what will happen, the ruh, the soul of all the actions will come out of our lives. We will stand in salah, but our salah is without any ruh. It is like a dead salah. Therefore the hadith says, when a person performs his salah and he does not concentrate, and he completes his salah, that salah is formed, is made into the form of a dirty rag and thrown back at his face. That's why we find Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that when a person speaks and he speaks lies and he falsely accuses people and he makes riba, that there is such a stench that emanates from that person because it is without any ruh, it is out the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that we should consume that which is halal. We should consume that which is halal. We should refrain from haram. We should fast in the month of Ramadan. But on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told someone that you should pick your teeth. You should take a toothpick and clean your teeth. But he told the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I was not eating meat. Normally when people eat meat, the grains of meat get stuck between the teeth. He said, I have not been eating meat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to him that you were speaking about your Muslim brother. And I can see the strands of his meat, of his flesh between your teeth. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us that we should refrain from these actions. We should refrain from those things that will cause disunity in the ummah, which will affect the ummah. And we should be like the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum, who were concerned about each and every person. They were concerned about each and every ummati. They were concerned how each and every person will be able to live their life according to the Quran and according to the Sunnah. Because eventually when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reckon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to check how we followed the Quran and how we followed the Sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is important for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that each person looks into his own life and see how each he can improve his life and come closer to the Quran and come closer to the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at our own mistakes. Don't look for the mistakes of other people. Look for your own mistakes. Once a student came to his teacher and asked him for some parting advice because he had graduated, he became an alim or a mufti. He came to his teacher and said, "Give me some advice." And his teacher gave him some parting advice. His teacher told him that don't be like a sieve. Don't be like a sieve. What is the purpose of a sieve? You throw something to the sieve. Everything that is good goes through the sieve. And all the dirt and all the stones and all that has nothing, no worth remains in the sieve. Meaning that do not look for the faults of people. Look for the good in the people and benefit from their good. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us tawfiq to make amal, whatever we say and whatever we hear. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings. Alhamdulillah, I am part of a delegation. There are various ulama in your town. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this town with various ulama, but we are part of a delegation of ulama from various parts of the country and also members from various parts of the country who are here to this weekend for our annual general meeting of the South African National Halal Authority. These ulama are in your town, and the meeting will take place inshallah at the famous Hartley Road School on Sunday at 10 o'clock. Arrangements have been made, separate facilities for our mothers and sisters. So we invite all that are present here and also the women folk to attend that annual general meeting. And these meetings take place yearly, but they rotate between the various provinces. So this is a good opportunity for you to attend this meeting inshallah on Sunday at 10 o'clock from 10 to after Zohar time inshallah. Because you won't get an opportunity again, you'll have to wait another 4 years for this. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our gathering and all the gatherings that take place, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower this ummah with His rahmah. Wa akhiru da'wana.